crowd this morning. Technical difficulties, but you know what? The Lord is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Here you go. I was lost with a broken heart. You picked me up. You picked me up. Now I'm set apart. From the ash I am born again. Forever safe. Forever safe in the Savior's hands. You are more. You are more than my words can say. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you, Lord, for all my days. Amen. I'll fix my eyes, follow in your ways. Yeah. Forever free in unending grace. You'll see that you are God. Cause you are, you are, you are my freedom. We lift you higher, lift you higher. FBC, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Okay, how many of you were dancing? I was told that I'm supposed to come up and show you my dance moves, and this is their favorite one. Are you ready? Right? Okay, I want to see some of those later, okay? We need some good dancing. Good morning. Thank you for being here. My name's Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm super excited, not just because today's Easter, but because today is a day we get to come together and celebrate Jesus Christ. Now, you may have heard him say a little something, something, and then we repeated a little something, something, but I want to see if we can do it better. Are you ready? I was dancing too much. Here we go. Ready. He is risen.
He is risen.
Can we do it again? Are you ready? He is risen. Okay, there's nothing better than that. That's really cool. Okay, now that I'm all like, we're going to go over announcements. Are you ready? I had too much coffee, and I was at the sunrise service, and we had Krispy Kremes in junior high and high school, so it's their fault. All right, quick things you need to know. First of all, open up your bulletins and check things out. The announcements side, make sure you look at that. We are chock full of fun things coming up over the next few weeks. Please, 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 please keep yourself updated. Check out the website. Go to Welcome Central. Ask as many questions as you can. Not at this exact moment, because we have a lot to do. But you can ask any other time other than this exact moment. And specifically, I want to draw your attention to a couple inserts. First of all, if you are a male, I want you to say, "Ooh." Was that Joey? Joey, that was something. Let's try it again. Men, "Ooh." All right, that's the sound you need to make tomorrow when you get here at 6 p.m. to eat lots and lots and lots of meat. 6 p.m. in C1 for $6. Meat, right? Always meat. Come. Good discussion, good food. It's going to be lots of fun. I will not be there for many reasons. The main one is I am not a guy. The next big thing, you'll notice the other insert has a face on it. This gentleman is named Paul Alexander. That wasn't even right. That was my professor in college. Anderson. He is an expert in biblical stuff. You can read all about him in here. But if you want to catch him first service next week, only first service next week, make sure you come to both services next week. You'll get the first service where you get to hear him and all of his brilliancy, and then you'll get to go to second service and finish out the Christ is for Everyone series with John and his brilliancy. So make sure you come to both services if you want a little extra gospely goodness next week, okay? And then finally, if you just don't know what happens around here in the middle of the week, check out this other side of that insert. We have things happening on Tuesday with high school. We have things on Wednesday, like the family dinner at 5:30. Make sure you're there, and make sure you're there on time. We have children's ministries and youth ministries and adults ministries that happen. Check things out. Got it? No reason you shouldn't be here. If you're not here, it's because you're not listening, and I'm talking really loud. So come. Got it? Now, final thing, if you usually use our Bible app to follow along, it is out of commission today. It's a really good day, Easter, to be out of commission, but it is out of commission, so you're going to have to go to old school, not so old school that you need a tablet, not this kind, but like kind, no? But you can just grab your notes page and follow along on there. Now, I know there's a lot of people in here today, but I don't care. I want you to stand up, and I want you to go love someone across the room. I want you to go find someone you don't know. Go love people up.
Mira. up, guys.
Let's all come back as we continue on in God's presence this morning. Son of God, the Christ is risen. We're going to proclaim his name.
Love's redeeming work is done.
became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. Carry the cross, carry the cross. Love so Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your presence and the greatness of your name. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated.
Here we go. tell me the Easter story.
Like when Jesus was born? I took him to a tomb the next, however long. And then, let me think. They rolled a big stone in front of the cave to close it, and they put a guard to watch it.
But on Passover, they said, we'll just leave and wait and see what happens, because it's Passover, we have to do this now. We can't do this now, we'll wait until the morning.
And he was in the tomb 3 days, I think. He woke up from the dead, and he rolled the stone away, and he went out to find his friends.
And the next morning, Mary and some of her friends were going to check on Jesus.
Her hair looked like Shelby, and
they had robes on. Like, not the shower ones, but like the one that Mary has.
Maybe she was wearing flip-flops or
flip-flops.
Mary came, and then they were crying, and then she was crying, and then the angels were there, and I said, why are you crying? And then she said,
where is Jesus?
He's risen, and he's left.
She went to go tell her friends, and she saw Jesus. Mary was so surprised that she, like, fainted, and she said,
oh my goodness, is that you, Jesus? Jesus, you're alive! You're alive! I thought you were dead.
Then she had a big smile on her face, but she was also shocked. Breaking news, but it was good.
She went to go tell the whole town, and they had a big giant party with wine
and bread
and fish.
And bread.
And fish.
And bread.
and all kinds of other food.
I said this in first service, we might as well go home now, because that was fantastic. So we have this phrase that you hear every now and then, and it's a phrase that doesn't seem to carry much weight anymore. It's 100% of the time. We hear it every now and then, and when we hear it, we immediately go into this skepticism of, really? Can anything happen 100% of the time? We have all these great things, and yet we have this skeptical attitude towards them. We have this skeptical perspective on them. Let me give you some examples. We have smartphones, and the technological power in those smartphones is more power than they had that put a man on the moon. And yet we get upset if it doesn't take quality pictures. We have cars that can actually parallel park for you. I'm not a big fan of the parallel parking thing. I don't understand why they have it, but cars can actually parallel park for you, and yet we get upset that the cup holder isn't big enough to handle our cups. Perhaps we realize we get on a plane in New York City and we fly across the country in 5 hours. It's phenomenal. And yet we find ourselves complaining more about the fact that they were just peanuts, they weren't honey roasted peanuts. And then if you want to hear about heartbreak, talk to anybody who picked Michigan State to win the national championship. Not saying I would ever do something foolish like that. And you have your bracket completely obliterated. You see, we hear this phrase 100% of the time, and we immediately begin to think that there has to be a flaw here. But the reason why all of us are here this morning is because Jesus Christ rose 100% fully about 2,000 years ago. And because he rose from the dead, he changed history then, and he changes history today. 100% of the time. We read these words in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Father, we pray now as we come into this time. We pray that the joy that those children shared in that video, a joy that knows no bounds, a joy that is because you came back from the dead, we pray that that joy would be ours today. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst in such a way that we grasp more fully the significance of you 100% coming back from the dead. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you did. And we pray now that your Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would move in our lives in such a way that we would be able to see, hear, experience, and truly understand the significance of you, Lord Jesus, rising from the dead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 100% of the time, when the Romans crucified somebody, they died. Doesn't come across as a shock. And the reason why I share that with you is because we see these women taking off to a tomb and they're carrying spices. The reason why they're carrying spices isn't because they're anticipating seeing somebody who rose from the dead. They're anticipating seeing a dead person. Because 100% of the time when the Romans crucified someone, they died. And when the Romans crucified someone, they crucified them to make a point. And the point was this: we are Rome, we are powerful, you are not Rome, you are not powerful, you will bow down to us. Jesus Christ did not bow down to the Romans. And so these women, and we read this in verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. These women are heading there, and they can't get there fast enough. They just can't get there fast enough. It was believed back in Jesus' day that for 3 days from the 3 days from when the person died, that their spirit was still somehow circulating or roaming around in the area. And they knew that that window of opportunity was coming to a close, and so they wanted to get there, and they bring these spices, and imagine the look on their faces when they see the stone rolled away. You see, because 100% of the time when Romans crucified people, they died and they put them in a tomb, and that tomb had a stone rolled in front of it. It was done. That person's not to be heard from again. And so they're expecting to see that very same thing happen. And now they show up and from a distance they see a stone rolled away. Why is the stone rolled away? It makes no sense. It catches them off guard. It would catch you and I off guard. But notice what they do. And these women, they had guts. Look at this. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They went inside a tomb. Now, I got to tell you, that takes guts. These women crawl into a tomb. I got to tell you, on anybody's bucket list, I don't see that on anybody's bucket list. I want to crawl into a tomb. These women had guts. I was in sixth or seventh grade. Went up to the store up the street from where we lived. Went to the store, went inside to buy some Big Chew bubble gum. It was good stuff. Came out, my bike was gone. Somebody stole my bike. Now, as a sixth or seventh grader, you don't have a bike, your life's done. Might as well cash in the chips and go home because, well, that's what I did. I went home, walked home, sad, angry, ticked off, get home. My parents look at me and at the dinner table, they said, what happened? And I said, somebody took my bike. My bike got stolen today. My dad said, sorry to hear that. My mom said, that stinks. I thought, my life's over. I got to put up with these people now. I can't get away. Well, a few days later, my mom went to the grocery store, and as she came out of the grocery store, and real quickly, my mom is 5 foot tall, and I think she's more like 4 foot 11. But my mom might not be the tallest lady, but she is a large personality. She is tough as nails. She's put up with my dad for over 50 years. That's a significant thing. But she's tough. My mom goes to the grocery store. She comes out of the grocery store. She looks up, and she sees this person on what looks to be my bike. My mom puts the groceries in the car, and my mom keeps her eyes on this guy. She gets in the car, starts it up, and she goes into, I'm going to get that sucker mode. And she followed him from a distance. Not too close, but close enough to see where he was going. She continued down. He turned into his apartment complex. She stayed a distance. She saw the door that he went in. She pulls up. My mom gets out of the car. And she goes and knocks on that apartment. And my mom has to look up to everybody. Person opens the door and she goes, you took my son Johnny's bike. By the way, nobody else can call me Johnny. We've already went over this. You took my son Johnny's bike and I'm here to take it back. It's not your bike, never was your bike, never will be your bike, and you're not going to stop me. I'm taking my son Johnny's bike now. You have a problem with that? And she turned around, grabbed the bike, and walked the bike into the car, drove it home. At dinner, she looks at me and says, Johnny, your bike is back. Now, here's why I tell you this. That took courage. These women had courage. They were looking for a dead person, and they crawl into a tomb. They can't find him. They're shaken. Their world is shaken at that point. At times, we need that courage. We need that courage to know that even though our world has just been rocked, that Jesus Christ is still there. And look what happens. They come out of the tomb, and it says this in verse 4, while they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember, 100% of the time that the Romans crucify someone, they die. They don't come back to life. They brought these spices because they expected to see a dead person. They crawl into the tomb. Nobody's there. They crawl out of the tomb. They're standing there trying to figure it out. And get this, 100% of the time when angels show up, you will freak out. Luke says that they are men with these clothes that are gleaming like lightning. But as you read through Luke's gospel, anytime an angel shows up, the descriptors that he uses in Luke 24 are the same descriptors that he uses to talk about angelic beings. An angel or two angels show up. Now, unlike what we see on TV and in the movies where people sort of go up and get all cuddly cozy with angels, from a biblical perspective, if you see an angel, you will probably freak out. And you'll do other bodily functions, I'm sure, as well. But it is not a warm, fuzzy, oh boy, let me give you a hug. It is an awe-inspiring, freaky experience. And that's what happens to them. Remember, these women have the courage to crawl into a tomb. And now all of a sudden these angels are there and they are cowering in fear. 100% of the time when an angel shows up, it means God is doing something. And these angels look at them and they say, why do you look for the living among the dead? This past week as I was thinking through this message, I came to that phrase and I was going through a variety of things in my mind about that question. These women didn't expect to run into a resurrected Jesus Christ. We are 2,000 years beyond it. This event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has been studied perhaps more than any other event in history. It's been turned inside and outside. It's so significant that Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, over 500 people witnessed the risen Lord. The reason why he had to put this in 1 Corinthians is because there was already this belief, even though it had only been a few decades after Jesus Christ had risen from the Lord, there was already this belief that it really didn't happen, that people made up this story. And Paul's saying, no, it happened. As a matter of fact, over 500 people saw it happen. And as a matter of fact, you can go and talk to some of them because they're still alive. Yes, the Romans, 100% of the time when they crucify someone, they die. And yes, 100% of the time when an angel shows up, it means God's on the move. And yes, 100% of the time, we're here to tell you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You shouldn't be looking here. And yet, we know the resurrection. We look at these women, and I got to tell you, they get a pass. Here's what saddens me. The resurrection happened, and yet we live as if he's dead. We have no excuse. No excuse whatsoever. And yet we live our lives without joy. We live our lives without peace. We live our lives without purpose. And it's all because we truly don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But every study that's gone out, every person that's studied this, every single time that they look and they try to find flaws in the whole thing, they come away going, it really happened. So I ask you right now, why do we live as if we're looking for a dead person? Rather than living for a person who conquered death. It's absolutely amazing what he did. 100% of the time when an angel shows up, it announces that God is doing something significant. And then look what happens. It says this, the Son of Man, or remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. All of a sudden, they realized that Jesus Christ had said significant things. 100% of the time when Jesus Christ says something, we need to pay attention. But there are things that happen in our lives, and we begin to forget what he said. And so these angels look up and say, he had to do this. Notice the two words, must be. There were no options here. He must be handed over to sinners. He must be crucified. He must rise from the dead. Why is that significant? It's significant because there was no plan B. It wasn't like the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sat down and they were thinking, and the Godhead was thinking, we need to rescue humanity. Let's put it on a whiteboard and come up with all these different things. There was no other plan. 100% of the time, God is committed to rescuing humanity. 100% of the time. Jesus Christ must be the 100% Savior. There's nobody that can compare to him. The angels are very clear, and they're very clear in saying he had to be delivered into the hands of sinners. He had to be crucified. He had to rise from the dead. No options. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, there has to be a different way. Hear me very clearly. The fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead says there doesn't need to be any other way. The price that he paid for your mistakes, for my mistakes, for your sin, for my sin, for the times that we've decided to go our own way and figure things out on our own, for the times that we've mistreated one another, for the times that we have gone and done stupid things, Jesus Christ says, I'm covering 100% of those. Because I had to. There were no options. And so they have this incredible encounter, and then they go back and they share this great news, and everybody that they share it with says, that's incredible that he had this happen. They were all excited. They were thrilled. They said, please tell us more, tell us more. But that's not what happened. Listen to what happens. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. 100% of the time that Jesus Christ does something in your life, 100% of the time that Jesus awakens you to who he is, and you go and share that with people, some of those people are going to say, you're nuts. I've had countless people come into my office and talk to me about the encounters that they've had with Jesus Christ. Some of those people then decided to get baptized, and we've been able to see those baptisms happen. And in some of those stories, I sit there and I find myself going, this is amazing what happened. How this person was in a room one day reading the Bible just because they felt like reading the Bible. And all of a sudden, something clicked for them. Or a person's driving down a road and all of a sudden they see a sign. And all of a sudden that stirs within them this idea of, there's something more going on here. People have had experiences where they've been healed. People have had experiences where a broken relationship has been restored, and they're in my office crying, and they're saying, this is incredible what Jesus Christ did. You see, Jesus Christ changes lives today. Not just back then. He changes them today. The resurrected Jesus Christ 100% changes lives today. There are magnificent things going on all around us, and we hear about what Jesus Christ is doing, and oftentimes, many times, people shrug their shoulders and say, it's not that big of a deal. Those are some coincidences that happened. But yet that person's life is completely changed. They carry no more guilt. They carry no more shame. The relationship has been restored. They have a newfound purpose. And they are free. And so these women come back and they share this news, and the response of the people is not good. And in the Greek where it says this, they did not believe these women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. In the Greek, the word nonsense is a medical term, and this is how significant this is. That this medical term is a term used for when people have a high fever and are delirious. These people were seemed to be so out of it that the people said, you're sick. But yet, just because the people discounted what these women said, doesn't invalidate what happened to them. Because 100% of the time when Jesus Christ goes to work, it's true. And then something happens. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Peter, the one who said to Jesus, I'm 100% behind you. The one who said to Jesus, I'm 100% behind you, so 100% behind you that when everybody else blows it, I won't. And yet, the night that Jesus is betrayed, Peter doesn't blow it one time or two times. He blows it three times. This one who said, I'm 100% with you, completely blew it. But here's what's great, is that Jesus Christ was 100% behind Peter every single time. And we read that he sees this, and by the way, notice this, it says, bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Peter didn't have the guts to go into the tomb. I got to tell you, these women did. Fellas, we got to step up. Go into that tomb. But he bends over, sees the strips of linen lying there, and begins to walk back. And look what it says. It says that he wondered what had happened. And we see that, and we immediately think about the empty tomb, and he's trying to figure out what's going on, but he has to walk all the way back to where he was. And I believe this, that as he's walking back to where he was, he's wondering what happened in his life. He's thinking back to the 3 years prior, when he was out fishing. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, I need you to quit fishing and follow me. Because, Peter, I'm 100% with you. Or perhaps when he's walking back and he's thinking through all these different experiences he had, and there was that night when he and the other guys are in this boat and they're struggling to get across the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden Peter or Jesus shows up and he's walking on water and they get all freaked out, and it's 100% Jesus there, and Peter screams out and he says, hey, Jesus, if that's you, tell me that it's you and ask me to come out on the water. And Jesus looks at him and says, Jesus, it's 100% me. Come on and walk on the water. And so Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water. Then there's this other occasion where Jesus sends out 72 people, and Peter's one of those 72 people. And Jesus says, I'm 100% with you, Peter. I'm 100% with you. You're a fisherman. You got kicked out of Jewish school because you didn't cut it that well. No rabbi wanted you, but I want you, Peter. I'm 100% with you. So when you go out with the other 71 people, know this, that you're going to be casting out demons. You're going to be able to get rid of leprosy from people, not because of you, but because I'm 100% with you, Peter. Jesus Christ was 100% with Peter from the time he met Peter until the time that Peter bends over and sees strips of linen lying in an empty tomb. And Jesus Christ says to Peter, I am alive. 100% of the time, when the Romans crucify someone, they die. 100% of the time, we come into places in our lives where we feel as if we are overwhelmed. But I'm here to tell you that Peter that day, you and I today on March 27th, 2016, know this to be true, that there is no power, there is no government, there is no person that is more powerful than the resurrected Jesus Christ, who is 100% alive, 100% with us, and 100% saying, I will never, ever let you go. No matter what's going on in your life. And Peter had a whole lot going on in his life as he's reflecting on all these different things that happened, but he could realize this, that his God was still with him at that time. Oh, it was dark. And for many of you in this room right now, it is very dark. You're looking at your life thinking, what happened? And I'm here to say this. Jesus Christ says, I'm 100% with you. And I will not let you down. I conquered death. I conquered sin. I kicked that stone away, and I am still alive today. There is no other. There is no other Savior that will do what Jesus Christ has already done. He rose from the dead, and he will never fail. Do you know this one? Do you trust this one? Because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Father, we pray now as we contemplate these words and we think about the significance of what was accomplished in Jesus Christ, we pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to realize that your resurrection power is available to us today. No matter what's going on, you are 100% behind us and crying out to us saying, I'm here. I'm alive. I want to do work in your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for rising from the dead to never die again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Standing.
As we continue in services this morning, what the pastors preach on is amazing. To be 100% enthroned and enveloped by His praise and His glory. And this morning, we have the opportunity to do that. And as we continue in worship this morning, we're just going to have a moment of silence to reflect on what it is God is doing in your life. The choir is going to sing a song, and please feel free to lead and worship as you will, whether you want to stand or bow or however God calls you to. And if you feel led to sing with us, please do. And so let's have that moment of silence. Just reflect on the power of God's presence.
Thank you, guys. That was awesome. Thank you. Where your blood ran red, my sin washed white. Jesus Christ gave 100%, gave 100% of everything he had to rescue you and I, to take our ugliness and turn it and transform it into a forgiven beauty. And so now we come to this time where we receive this morning's offering, and we're not asking you to give 100%. We're asking you to be appreciative of all that God has done for you and to be generous. Jesus Christ was generous, and he calls us to be generous as well. What we give back to him now is used by him to do fantastic things, to expand the kingdom, to expand his work, not our kingdom, but his work in people's lives. And so as the offering plates come by, may you prayerfully consider what God's calling you to give today. And if you're visiting with us, I'm not asking you to participate in that. If you'd like to, that would be great. This is a family thing. We invite you to do that very thing. While the offering's being taken, there'll be two videos showing about upcoming summer camps for our junior hires and our high schoolers. So we invite you to watch those as well.
Maybe it's kind of like Jen's story, and you're like, I couldn't possibly, I can't actually. God, what could you? And he's saying, you have no idea the things that I'm going to do with you if you're just willing. Stand in one last declaration, shall we? Praising as you will. This song is more than just a song. They come from our hearts, and you'll know it. You'll know it because it truly reflects. Reflects my heart. I wanted to be 100% with God.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart can say it is well. for Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed.
Yes, Lord.
The victory is won. He is risen from the dead.
We will,
and I will rise when He calls my name.
We will rise.
No more.
Yes, Lord.
No more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, and I will rise.
Amen. We rise to You, Lord. We give You strength. We give You the honor and glory, Lord, as You bestowed upon us. As we declare Your name, Lord, today is a day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am happy. I rejoice. And all God's people say with a mighty voice, amen. Amen.
Real quickly, you heard in the announcements earlier that next week at 9 o'clock in that service, Dr. Paul Anderson's going to be here. He's a great individual, brilliant man, and one of the things that also he is part of, he's part of a organization that has put together what's called the St. John's Bible. It's the first handwritten Bible in 500 years, and in between services, we'll have a volume of that out there for you to look at, and so we invite you back next week to see that. It's really a beautiful piece of artwork, and it's just fantastic. But Jesus Christ is risen. He's 100% risen. And He 100% changes lives. And if today is the day when you say, I've been wondering what's been happening in my life, and I need Jesus, please, please let us know. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to help you understand who Jesus Christ is and what He's done, not only by rising from the dead, but 100% saving you and me. We only turn to Him and place our trust in Him. May you enjoy this Easter day. He is risen.
He is risen.
All right. Amen. God bless you.
You are, you are, you are.
are my freedom. We lift you higher, lift you higher. Your love, your love.